James was the step-brother of Jesus. The Gospels tell us that Christ's brethren at first did not believe in him. James, of course, was older than Jesus, and like the other siblings, he resented this new baby that came into his father's house to use the meager resources that the carpenter could provide. And as desire of ages indicates, these brothers teased and ridiculed and persecuted the little boy as he was growing up. And as I have thought of James many times, James 1:19 seems to be the key message of the life of James. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. He hadn't listened to his father and stepmother when they told about Jesus. He had been too glib with his tongue to ridicule and persecute, and he had often got angry. And so when he leaves his last testament, inspired by the Spirit in his epistle, his main messages are based on these three pieces of advice. Swift to hear in chapter 2, slow to speak in chapter 3, and slow to wrath in chapter 4. Our Christian commitment tested. We will study the first 15 verses of the first chapter of James under some four headings. James calls himself a bond slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, older brother, totally surrendered, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Now, as the lesson indicates, this may be to the Jews, it may be a figurative speech for all God's people. Jesus had promised the 12 apostles that they would sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, and so they could well have taken this figure, 12 tribes, to be a microcosm of all God's people. Brethren, count it joy, all joy. The word count there is reckon. Reckon yourself joyous when you fall into temptation. Now he comes back to temptation several times in his epistle. Temptation. Knowing this, that the testing of your faith works patience. Now, what is the difference between a temptation and a test? We are told in Genesis 22:1 that God tempted Abraham. But James tells us that God cannot tempt any man with evil, as he himself cannot be tempted with evil. So the temptation or the test or the trial that God brings is always a challenge to do good, to be better. The temptation, the trial, the test that Satan brings is always an inducement to do wrong. God never tests a man to do wrong. He never challenges a man. Every trial that God permits to come upon us is a door that will open up into greater victory. A realization that we are being tempted is a vital point. If I am tempted to drink alcoholic beverages, if there is awakened in my heart a desire that I toy with my mind the pleasures of drinking, social, whatever, this should be a finger that points to my weakness. If I am tempted to to take something that belongs to me. And the Spirit of God awakens in my mind, Les, you're being tempted to steal. This should immediately awaken me to an area of weakness, for which I want strength. And I should say, Lord, help me to control the appetite for alcohol or whatever. Help me to control the desire to steal or whatever may be. So when the temptation comes, it's a trying of our faith. See whether we can hold on to God and not drink and not steal, worked by the faith that is not our own, but by the gift of God. And then this faith that is thus exercised awaits in us a patience. Patience is a suffering under without complaint. That's what the word means. To suffer under. I bear up without complaint in spite of whatever I may feel. Allow patience, he continues, to have its perfect work, to do through us and for us whatever it wants, that we may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. What is this word perfect? It's the optimum possible. It's the goal. It helps us to realize that no two persons have the same goal. Our talents differ, our abilities differ, our interests differ, our physical powers differ, our mental powers differ. So what is required of different individuals is different. We have all met musicians, pianists, organists, with considerable talent. They perform in public, they make recordings, they teach in our institutions. Then there are other pianists and organists who have nothing like the ability that these professional musicians have. But their talents, if they practice and develop them, become suitable for playing the organ or the piano in churches and Sabbath school where professional musicians are not available. The standard of the professional and the standard of the amateur differ. So, when faith tests and patience endures, James is saying this leads us to the attainment of the optimal possible. Perfect. Entire means complete. And then he repeats, wanting nothing. There are no areas within us that we are not utilizing and developing and dedicating to the service of God. If any of you lack wisdom, now in this context, wisdom is understanding the ministry of temptations in the human personality. If you don't understand why these things are happening to you, if you haven't got an explanation, in our previous studies, we've been thinking in the prophecy of Haggai, as Israel was thinking long before, look, I've worked hard and I've only got a handful of grain. I've got the money and I put it into the bag, and when I've paid my bills, I've got nothing left. What's going on? What's happening? If you lack wisdom and you think to yourself, I'm trying to do what is right, I'm bringing up my children as best I can. What's going wrong? Why am I moving from one crisis to another? If you lack wisdom, ask God, and He will give you this wisdom liberally, without upbraiding you, scolding you. He will help you. But ask in faith. Faith is trusting God. You remember what Job 1 ends with? In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He had heavenly wisdom. He's not going to charge God for doing things in his life that actually Satan was doing, as we read in Job 1 and 2. We must ask in trust. All things are working together for good. I love God. I've been called according to his purpose. So when you ask for heavenly wisdom that gives you insight into the whys of these things, ask in faith. God is really on your side. Don't waver. Don't think that God has left you. He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven to the wind and tossed. Don't have double mind. Don't think good and don't think evil of God. God doesn't do any wicked thing. This will make you unstable. Now apply this philosophy to your brethren in the church. Rejoice with the one that is exalted and weep with the one who is debased. Realize that life is ephemeral, like the grass of the field. It's here today and gone tomorrow. And the sun that may ripen fruit withers the grass. Its fashion changes. So the riches of a rich man disappear. What has he got when he's finished? Blessed is the man that endures temptation with patience, for he shall receive a crown which is life, promised by God to those who love him. Now he comes back to the temptation. He says, don't make the mistake of saying, when I am tempted of God. You may be tested by him. But this inducement to do what is wrong. Why does God put this temptation to steal, to embezzle? Why does God tempt me to break the Sabbath by making me work on it? Don't say this. God doesn't do that. We need the heavenly wisdom that he's already talked about in verse 5. Don't say when you're tempted, I am tempted by God. God cannot be tempted of evil, and he doesn't tempt any man with evil. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Now this word lust here is a word that indicates that which bubbles to the surface, epithumeo. Epidermis, the top surface. This fumes, bubbles to the top. Now we use a figure of speech in our own language about getting a rise out of something. Oh, I got a rise out of you. Something came to the surface. Every man has his own areas in which Satan's temptation will get a rise out of him. Get his attention. Make him do something. Whatever it may be. I talked to somebody who hadn't smoked for years. But he told me sometimes when people smoke special brands of cigarettes, he gets a desire to smoke again. He hasn't smoked for 20 years, and he's not going to smoke. This rising desire doesn't come from God. It's in man, drawn away with his own lust. And then when that lust conceives, it brings forth sin. See, the temptation must conceive before it brings forth sin. The thought of something, unless it is cherished, is not sin. The idea may come, pick that up. But then another idea comes, leave it there, it doesn't belong to you. Belongs to somebody who has just put his watch there while he's washing his hands. Don't touch it. That's no sin. That can be a temptation. But all temptations are not sin, if they are overcome. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So James, in this chapter, begins with warning us, God doesn't tempt anyone to do what is wrong. That temptation grows out of inner, innate weaknesses. Satan exploits those weaknesses by making suggestions with an opportunity. That's what a temptation is. It's a suggestion to do wrong with an opportunity, either to meditate upon it and fantasize on it, or to carry it through. But those suggestions with opportunities are not sin until an activity has taken place. Something is done. Then sin results that ends in death. And if we are uncertain about these temptations, let's ask God. He will give us heavenly wisdom, and He will not scold us. He doesn't wish anyone to fall into temptation and thus sin.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.